like to do then. Hello, friend, and welcome again to a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the truths, the precious truth of the eternal God. How wonderful it is to know the eternal God, to be a part of the family of God, to be born into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that I've been adopted into God's family, and I'm His property. He has a right to do with me, in me, and through me, whatever He wants to do, because He's redeemed me from eternal destruction and damnation. He's given to me life eternal. I'm on my way to glory to spend eternity with Him. And oh, because of His great love, He has redeemed me and cleansed me. Because of the great love of God, the Lord Jesus Christ took my sin upon Himself and went to that old rugged cross and died in my place for my sin, for my iniquity. And He wasn't doing it just for me, beloved. He did it for you as well. For God had you and me in mind when the Lord Jesus hung on that old rugged cross, when Jesus willingly prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," and submitted to the will of the Father, that a way of bringing us back to God might be made through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who knew no sin, taking our sin upon Himself and dying in my place. Oh, beloved, it's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. Well, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and last time I, by mistake, went to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 instead of chapter 5, which I intended to, but it's wonderful to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we saw that we are to walk worthy, we who know Jesus as Savior, in the spiritual warfare and battle that we're engaged in with the forces of evil and the powers of darkness. We're to walk worthy of the Lord and of the vocation, that is, of the calling that the Lord has given to us to be a witness and a testimony, an example of the believer. We're to live and walk and talk in such a manner and in such a way that Christ is glorified in and through our life. Then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 we read, "And walk in love." We're to walk in love. This was a new commandment the Lord Jesus gave to us, that we love one another. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." And He's talking about agape love, love that's not based on emotion or feeling, but love that is based on a choice and a decision to love the unlovable, and to love those who even irritate us and get under our skin, to love them and to support them, to pray for them, and to pray for ourselves, that whatever it is they do that irritates us, we might learn to love them and to overlook their faults, just as people have to overlook our shortcomings and our faults. And so we're to walk in love, as Christ loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 states. And then also again we read in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." We're to walk circumspectly, that is, in a manner that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I skip verse 8 of Ephesians 5, "For Ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And by walking, we're talking about our manner of living, the way we live in this world, that in our earthly walk, in our earthly activities, in the things we do, the way we live, we're to glorify Jesus Christ, because we are the light in the world. Christ lives in and through our life, and we're to be submissive and yielded to Him, that His Holy Spirit might work through us in our attitudes, our actions, our conduct, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. And finally, in verse 18, we're told to not be in a drunk and intoxicated, to not live under the control of alcohol, to ignore and turn away from that, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we're so controlled by the Holy Spirit that we're so under His instruction and guidance that we're like an alcoholic who is under the control of alcohol. One who is drunk, and it affects their action, it affects their behavior, it affects their conduct. So we as children of God are to be so under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, so filled with the Spirit, that it affects our speech, it affects our attitudes, it affects the manner of living in our life, it affects where we go, what we do, how we conduct ourselves, that Jesus might be glorified in and through our lives. We're to walk as children of light and not under the control and of circumstances and of Satan and his demons. And then, beloved, we have victory available through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, and we're going to see how we can have victory in the Lord Jesus, how we can walk victoriously over the forces of evil and the powers of darkness. We're given an example by the Lord Jesus Christ here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and verse 1 through 10. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, speaking of the Lord Jesus. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now a centurion was a man of great authority and great position. He was over 100 soldiers. And we see that he had a servant that he greatly loved, and the servant was sick. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that this centurion was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. This man had helped the Jewish people, he cared for the Jewish people, he even built them a synagogue. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now far away from the house, when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Now what was he marveling about? He was marveling because this man said, Lord, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. I understand that you have all authority, both in heaven and in earth, And he was saying here, I'm a man of authority, and I have soldiers under me who do what I tell them to do, and I know that you have authority. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. You see, beloved, the key was that this man had authority, and he recognized that Jesus had authority. And so he said these words, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to another, do this, and he doeth it. The centurion was under Roman rule, yet given authority over approximately 100 men. Jesus marveled at the centurion's understanding of this principle of authority and the authority that Jesus had. Now, beloved, authority is the official legal power to act. It's the official legal power to act. In Genesis 1:28, God gave Adam and Eve dominion and authority over the earth. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. However, they yielded to Satan's suggestion to disobey God, and thus they became his slaves, giving their authority over to Satan, so that he is now the god of this world, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 states. They gave their authority over to Satan when they yielded to his suggestion, when they listened to the devil instead of walking in obedience to the Lord and doing what the Lord told them to do. They submitted to Satan. And, beloved, that's why Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, resisted the devil, because had he yielded to Satan, he would have been giving his authority over to the devil. And so we see Jesus said no to Satan over and over again. And, beloved, you and I must say no to Satan and not yield to him and his suggestions, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now join us next time, and we'll go further into this. Till then, goodbye.